You're listening to The Bounding Box, where we talk about web development, geo development, and everything in between.
All right. Welcome to The Bounding Box. Today I have an awesome guest here. I have Dario D'Amico. So Dario, please introduce yourself. Tell us who you are, what you do. What's your problem?
Thank you for having me here, René. I'm a senior software development engineer at Esri, and I work on the ArcGIS Maps SDK for JavaScript. My main focus is the WebGL to the engine. I live in Redlands with my wife and two kids. My problem is that I want maps to be super duper pretty.
Don't we all, right? That's like the main thing we want
to
make pretty looking maps, right?
We do, yeah.
So, Dar, you are like, you're one of the WebGL guys on the Maps SDK team. Like, you're full on graphics dude, right? I mean, how did you get started with graphic engines and stuff like that? I mean, just were you trying to make games or anything, or what were you doing?
Yes, for sure. I was very inspired by games from a very early age. When I actually wanted to start building something, you know, when I started, there weren't the engines that we have now, like Unity, Unreal, all packaged in a unified product and with documentation and everything. But there was something. So, for instance, I remember id Software, the studio that is behind Doom and Quake, had started this tradition of releasing their source code for all their engines. And so definitely I checked out their code, tried to hack, modify things, recompile, change textures, change strings, change numbers. So definitely that's how I got started. Even before that, I remember making maps, which really are levels for those games. And it was a very, very satisfying experience. I remember one day I was super excited about that. So I actually told one of my buddy in middle school, there is something awesome. I've discovered something awesome. I got to tell you the dopest thing. You're not going to believe that. I'll tell you at recess. And when recess came, I told him that I had made a level for Quake. And that's not what he was expecting. But for me, it was super exciting, yes. Beside these early experiences, the first time that I really tried to do something was actually with raw C++ and DirectX 8. I tried to learn DirectX 8, but I guess it was a little overwhelming in the beginning because the API is complicated, and then Win32 is complicated, and then there is all those weird math things, matrices and vectors and scalar products. So I didn't really do much at that time, but then at some point, Microsoft released the managed DirectX 9 for .NET, and that made the whole thing way more approachable for me. I think that's when I really started studying graphic programming. And then Microsoft discontinued the managed DirectX, so I switched back to DirectX 9 and C++, and from then on, I kept learning things, and I felt more comfortable from that point on. And when WebGL came, it was super cool, and I pretty much focused 100% on that after that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember messing around with DirectX at one point. I bought one of those. I think it was an O'Reilly book or something way back when, and tried some stuff out. But I really didn't have any use case for it. Just like, okay, I was just messing around. It was fun, but yeah, I didn't really get very far with that.
Yeah, it's definitely it's a lot of stuff for sure. It requires time, and if you don't really have a use case, it's tough to find the motivation. Yeah,
I do find it really interesting. I do follow some game developers online and stuff like that, and seeing the cool stuff that they do. And it's neat. It's really kind of neat to see the kind of things that people work on with those engines.
Yes, it's definitely super interesting. When about once a year, I attend SIGGRAPH, which is the main conference for computer graphics. And there's a specific talk about advancement in real-time rendering. And it's very complicated stuff. Very often it goes a little over my head, but it's very cool to learn about advanced techniques, and especially even when you don't fully understand the technique, it's interesting to see how they approach the problem. There is some sort of clarity in computer graphics where even the most complicated thing in the end boils down to Well, I draw the mountains, I draw the sky, I draw the trees. So it's very simple to explain what the steps are and what's going on. And each one of these steps may be super complicated and require a lot of super advanced math, but the whole picture is usually very, very elegant, and it transpires very well in these presentations. And definitely it's something that I would recommend watching if you're interested in graphics. Yep.
Awesome. Nice. And if listeners can't tell by now with your accent, you are Italian, correct?
Correct, yes.
How did you end up at Esri then?
So I married my wife in 2012 in Italy. My wife is from here, is from Loma Linda. And for a while, we went back and forth between the two countries. Our first son was born in Florence in 2013. And then once I applied and was granted the green card, we started looking for opportunities for me to work back in the US. And so I Googled for jobs, and I found a WebGL job at Esri in Redlands. And so I applied, and I did my very first interviews when I was still in Italy, actually, on the phone. And then in October 2016, I came to the US, I actually did the real interviews, and eventually I was hired shortly after, and I'm very happy to be here. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, you came in right at a great time, right when like all the WebGL stuff was kind of getting started.
Yeah. Everything. I think it was 4.4 or 4.5 or something like that. Yes.
That's neat. Yeah, because I know there was a lot of the regular OpenGL stuff being done from runtime, and we're bringing some of that, trying to bring some of that kind of stuff over into the web and JavaScript and stuff. So
yeah,
exciting stuff, man. Exciting.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it is very exciting. Yes.
So what are some of the biggest challenges of working with visualizations on the web? Because I imagine it can get pretty complicated sometimes.
Yeah, so the main thing I think is that different browsers and different vendors, different graphic cards may behave a little different. This is a problem that I guess is always present whenever you are coding closer to the metal. But for WebGL, there is the browser that sometimes adds an additional layer of complexity. Personally, I've never really had major nightmares in this compartment, but I know that some of my colleagues definitely struggled with stuff like, if you don't align the data properly, the frame rate is going to be bad, or it may take too long for the program to start. So there are all these little things that maybe are perfectly fine with a browser, and there are no for another one. And then there are also other issues like you have to be very careful about security. Sometimes there are some features that you cannot use because of security concerns. And so definitely these are some of the issues. Something that I experienced a little more is the fact that WebGL is just a little behind compared to DirectX 10, 11, 12, Vulkan, and so on. So sometimes you do miss the advanced capabilities of those APIs. But in this respect, WebGL 2 and soon WebGPU will bridge the gap a bit. So soon we will be able to do quite advanced things. For instance, compute shaders are definitely coming to the web through WebGPU, and that's going to be super cool.
That's neat. I know a lot of times we have issues about like low power devices,
yes,
or thin clients like Citrix or something like that.
Yes.
That we have to take into consideration.
Right. So yes.
You just have to make sure it runs sometimes, right?
Sorry.
You just have to make sure that something draws on the map.
Yes. Yes. Most of the time. Yes. And there are a lot of reasons why sometimes things don't draw, and sometimes debugging is a little frustrating in computer graphics, but it's very rewarding when finally something shows up. Yeah,
that's cool. And all those little optimizations you do in that regard? I mean, they carry over to like someone that's got full fledged machine that can do everything that it needs to do, right? So
yes, yes.
Everyone benefits.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So do you think we should WebGL everything, Dario?
So I think that the web platform is really good. When I compared, you know, the web platform with other platforms that I worked on, whether Android, iOS, or even Win32, it's very rewarding to work with a web platform. It can do a lot of things out of the box very easily, like, you know, rendering text, which is traditionally the main thing. So I guess there are a lot of use cases that are covered perfectly fine by traditional HTML5 and JavaScript. And I think you should definitely leverage those simpler technologies as much as you can. I remember when I was in high school, I did an internship at a company that, among the other things, was doing fleet tracking. This was before the JS SDK for JavaScript. It was before Google Maps, before WebGL, before Canvas. But basically, this company had developed their own mapping tool, probably using Esri software in the backend. I will never know for sure. And so basically, they would generate an image with the base map and the positions of the trucks, and they will send that to the client. And my boss back at the time had this idea of try to do something with JavaScript. And he had this idea, maybe if we use JavaScript, we can keep the base map static and move a marker on the map using JavaScript. And I was kind of fluent with JavaScript because I had read the definitive guide by Flanagan. And there was a chapter about the XML HTTP request object. And thanks to that and to the DOM and a few other tricks, we actually were able to do this. We generated all the static tiles in a way, and we superimposed a marker, an image, using the coordinates read from the server and the DOM. And this was like 20 years ago. So it was very, very exciting to see that happening, because before that, I thought about JavaScript as more like a toy to do little animations. And instead, that's where I started seeing really the potential for a web that was programmable. And I think things are getting better and better in this sense. And now there are APIs for everything in the web platform. I also dabble in audio processing, and right now most browsers support acquiring audio from microphones. They even support MIDI devices, so it's very exciting, everything about the web platform, and there are a lot of things that you can leverage to create your apps.
That's cool. Yeah, a lot of the cool stuff you've done, let's talk about a couple of things that I know that you've pushed out there. You did the flow renderer,
yes,
the prototype, right? I mean, yes, you worked on that. That was like your thing. That, I remember when you first demoed that. We have these weekly meetings with the Maps SDK team, and you showed that flow renderer animation stuff. That was awesome. That was really
thank you, cool. Thank you, yeah.
That, and you also had the smoke demo.
Yes,
when,
yes.
There were the California fires, stuff like that. You had the demo showing how you could display actual animated smoke and where it goes and stuff.
Yes,
in the map.
Yep. Yeah, it was another very, really fun experiments, and we learned a lot from those sort of prototypes, and a lot of that, a lot of what we learn now is shaping what we are doing now, which is working on sim animations. So it will be able for users to incorporate animations in their own apps in an easy way, without needing
What kind of animation would people be able to do with sim when that's ready to go?
So we are still working out the spec, but we can expect markers that change colors, marker that change opacity, markers that get bigger and smaller. We also have plans for animating patterns on lines and fields, moving markers along lines and stuff like that. Yes. And most of these,
the animating of lines is going to be really neat.
It will be, I think it will be really cool. And most of these things will be possible to make them data driven through primitive overrides and visual variables to some extent. So it will be possible for the animations to carry no cartographic meaning.
And one of the other really cool projects that you worked on was getting the ArcGIS plugin for DeckGL, right?
Yes. Yes.
How does that work? I mean, because I know some people might not be too familiar with what DeckGL is. It's an Uber thing and stuff like that, but it basically allows them to use our platform, our stuff inside of DeckGL, right? So how does that work? Or what is it necessarily?
So in the JS SDK for JavaScript, there are really two extension points for inserting custom graphics. So one is in 3D and it's the external renderers, and one it's in 2D and it's the custom WebGL layers. So out of the box, these two extension mechanisms allow the user to basically inject their own WebGL logic to draw custom stuff. The thing is that sometimes working with WebGL from scratch can be pretty tedious. So we always had this idea of allowing external engines to be combined with the API, with the SDK. And this is what the DeckGL plugin does. The DeckGL plugin is basically a plugin that connects to this extension point. So essentially is something that emits WebGL commands, but does so using the DeckGL kit. The DeckGL toolkit was initially developed by Uber, and it's a data visualization tool that includes a lot of layers out of the box. For instance, it includes an animated lines layer, it includes an hexagon layers, and thanks to the DeckGL plugin for ArcGIS, users are able to quickly integrate these existing DeckGL layers into an ArcGIS layer stack with our base maps.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, some of those demos are really nice, and it's kind of neat to see users be able to mess with WebGL directly with our SDK, which is cool.
Yep.
All right, Dario, I want to be respectful of your time here, but before I let you go, you got any tips, tricks, words of advice for listeners today? Anything at all?
Yeah, I guess I will focus on graphics. So definitely something that I recommend people is to experiment more with engines. Like anything really, Unreal, Unity, Babylon, Godot, anything. One that I really liked was called Corona, then they changed name, and now it's called Solar 2D, and that's an engine for mobile. It's the one that I use to ship my only game so far, and it's very fun. If you want to get started with graphics, it's a good starting point. So Solar 2D. The other recommendation is if you want to do things from scratch, definitely something that you should try. You can Google for a simple WebGL triangle example and try to extend it from there. Just try to make a little game, keep things simple, be focused. Software feature creep is bad in all context in software engineering, but it's especially bad for graphics in my opinion. But if you keep things simple, you'll be able to make something very satisfying, and you're gonna have a lot of fun. Yep.
That's cool. Wait, did I hear that right? You are still making some of your own little games and stuff?
Well, I made the only one in a way. So in 2015, I published this very simple Android game. It was about you have to stuff objects into a suitcase. So it had physics and it had the multi-touch. And in theory, Corona used to support both things, but having them together turned out to be very tricky. But in about 6 months, I was able to release it. So it's a puzzle game. You have objects and you have to make sure that they fit in a box in a way. Yeah.
That's awesome, Dario. I didn't know that.
I'll try to find it. Maybe it's still on the store somewhere. I'll send you a link here.
Ah, very cool. Awesome, Dario. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it, man. I'll talk to you next time.
Thank you so much. It was super fun to do this with you, René. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Bounding Box today. Please subscribe for more content.